What? Oh, the intro. Hello, I'm Brandon.
And I'm Justine.
And this is the Cozy Co-op, a podcast where you...
Me.
A podcast where a game... I always almost say game show.
Why?
I don't know. I think game show is just that ingrained into my brain system.
Why did you yell you at me?
I don't know. Seemed like a fun way to introduce things. This is the podcast where a games journalist and a creative writer talk about video games.
Brandon puts the fun in confusing.
I've never heard that. I like it. So today's topic is... Wow, I'm getting all...
No Man's Sky.
I almost said To the Moon, then I almost said Sea of Thieves.
Say that again. That I just love it when you say that. Please say it again.
Sea of Thieves.
Ah, there it is. Those soft consonants.
Our lost episode, which maybe we'll have to do that again soon for
one
of their...
just post it.
It's gar... I think I deleted the audio.
I have it.
Ew. It's still garbage audio. We can't. So... No Man's Sky, popular spacefaring game. But before that, I have a bit of news for you.
Good, you remembered the news.
I did remember the news.
You're like a big boy now. She seems a little prickly tonight.
You a little bit. You a grumpy cactus.
The cactus co-op.
The cactus co-op, where we talk to you about succulents.
I wish. Someone help me with my aloe.
Your poor aloe. The first bit of news, Animal Crossing. Two things happened in the last week regarding it. The first one being the co-director of all of the Animal Crossing games quit Nintendo recently.
Mm-hmm.
He was the co-director for, like I said, all of them, except the first one where he was a debugger. But still, that's a very influential role to this entire game franchise.
Yeah.
He also was the director of... Legend of Zelda Wind Waker, which makes a lot of sense on a design standpoint when you look at it.
Is that the piratey one with the very small characters?
Yeah. Introduced to the idea of Toon Link.
Yeah. I like the art on that one.
Now that I know that this guy was involved in both, like, I see it.
The big heads and little bodies.
But yeah. Colorful tones.
The chibi characters.
So, he left. And this tells me one of two things. Either he left on unexpectedly or on bad terms, or Animal Crossing is not being made right now at all.
Or ever again?
Well, I mean, it might be in the future. I can never predict such a thing.
But not by this dude.
Yeah, even if it is made again, odds are it's not going to be exactly what it's been in the past, just because they won't have this guy's influence anymore.
Maybe they don't have an Animal Crossing on the table for the foreseeable future, and he got an offer elsewhere.
Maybe. I have no idea what he's doing now. The way people found this out is his Facebook page mm-hmm. is half public. Where it says he left Nintendo on Facebook.
Yeah.
So this isn't even a press release type thing. This is very under the radar. But here's a neat little fact about Animal Crossing that we learned recently. The 2018 first quarter financial report by Nintendo has been up. And mm-hmm. it stated that Animal Crossing New Leaf has finally sold 11.78 million units in its lifetime.
Why is that a finally? Was that a goal?
Because Animal Crossing Wild World, the predecessor for the Nintendo DS, has sold 11.75.
Ah.
So only now has New Leaf actually sold more units in Wild World.
That seems weird. It seems like New Leaf is way more popular than
right?
Wild World.
I could have, if I had to guess, I would have assumed New Leaf was the highest seller by far. But
yeah,
apparently not.
Because I've never heard anyone talk about Wild World.
I had Wild World. It was my introduction to the series. The mobility of it really made a difference, and I'm sure a lot of people at that time agreed. But when you compare the two games, oh my god, it's not even a challenge. New Leaf is leagues better than Wild World graphically, like your options. It's an incredible leap in quality.
See, I don't know anything about Wild World, and just from the title, I have this feeling that New Leaf, we're seeing all the domesticated animals, and in Wild World, this is the prehistoric college party days. No, this is just the before times. When there wasn't, when the humans first came in and the animals had yet to be domesticated to houses.
I like this idea.
Is that not what it is?
No.
Oh.
It is
just We should make a prequel.
A prequel? Animal Crossing Origins?
Yes.
Where they're still just regular animals. So, next bit of news. EA has issued a DMCA against...
Wait, can I just, for a second, because I thought of how cool it would be when you play Animal Crossing Origins and then you come across this golden retriever and you just go, oh, and it's got, and then you like take its ears and put it up in like a little ponytail and you're just like,
It's you!
And that's the one that follows you around the whole game.
Your companion dog.
Your companion dog.
I wonder if there's a Fallout mod that turns dog meat into Isabel.
Does Isabel's name have anything to do with the bells as a currency?
You know, the localization
of these
games... Is it
like naming her Money Penny?
Money Penny? Do you think 50 Cent's daughter would be named Penny?
Isn't he have a nephew or something named 15 Cent?
Does he really?
Or was that just from the Proud Family?
I'm just making jokes.
I think that was on the Proud Family.
I'd believe that. I don't know... the idea behind her name, to be honest.
Okay. Now you can talk about the EA thing.
EA DMCA'd an open source SC2K. I like that phrase because it makes no sense.
It doesn't. It's just a lot of letters.
Electronic Arts are the people who own the SimCity.
I know who EA is.
They own SimCity. That's what I'm getting at.
Okay.
One popular game of theirs was SimCity 2000, SC2K.
Ah.
Well, in the project, that's not correct. For a while, there was a fan-made project that was an open-source fan-made recreation of SimCity 2000. The idea behind open source is that everything in it is not copyrighted, and everything is openly and available. Well, out of nowhere, this project was shut down. And this was apparently because EA Games had issued a... shut down to GitHub, the site where it was being hosted, and they agreed, they took it down. And apparently the guy who's making this project, no one told him anything. They claimed that basically visual things that were happening were copyright infringement of SimCity.
Yeah.
And the guy said, yeah, had EA or GitHub just talked to me first, I would have gladly removed it. But one interesting line was that they said only the complete removal of this project will be sufficient to adhere to copyright standards. Meaning EA basically said, no, we don't want it fixed, we want it gone.
Yeah.
Now I find this interesting because not too long ago, you know what showed up on Origin, EA's online game distribution service?
What?
SimCity 2000.
Ah. They don't want
so because they can sell the original. They want to eliminate this fan-made recreation.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We literally talked about this exact thing in episode 2, the Portal episode. We were talking about how someone had made a fan-made recreation of Half-Life or Half-Life 2, and
Black Mesa.
The Black Mesa project. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Valve was like, yeah, sure, go for it. That's awesome.
Yeah, they even let them sell it on Steam.
You made a passing comment that was, if someone tried to do this with, like, The Sims, EA would, like, stop this before it started.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you're right. I remember this. And here it is. I am clairvoyant.
And then it happened. Like, you just,
it was just with SimCity, not The Sims, I guess. Huh.
Well, you did it.
That's the worst part is, my understanding that it was different enough. Allegedly. But it was still just a bit too similar.
Yeah.
And that's such a shame. Like, I can't imagine having a passion project shut down like that.
Yeah. Especially without notice.
Yeah.
You called it.
I did. So that's all I want to talk about for news today. I had a third thing. I don't feel like it. It wasn't that interesting. I feel obligated to have three things in my news.
We can count the Animal Crossing.
That's my thought. Yeah. So,
No Man's... Also, we have announced our new passion project, Animal Crossing Origins.
Oh, right. Yes. Check out our Kickstarter page for that. It's just a picture of me petting a dog.
If you keep putting her ears up in a little ponytail.
It's a video of me hairdressing a dog with ukulele music in the background.
Yes. Oh, can we do this? Can we get a dog?
No.
Okay.
Speaking of no.
I just want to talk about Animal Crossing Origins for the rest of this episode.
We'll have to save that for our, like, our annual anniversary.
Okay.
Annual anniversary
our
episode.
Annual anniversary. It happens every year.
Episode 52.
Well, we skip around sometimes.
So yeah, but...
Not exactly.
That's how I keep track. We also stockpiled episodes early. So I don't actually know when we should consider our launch date. I don't know. Video games. No Man's Sky. This. Space game. Yes. Okay. Ready?
Uh-huh.
So, released 2 years ago. People were upset.
Yes.
A new update happened recently, which we reported on last episode. And I played it a bunch, and now we're going to talk about it because of that.
Yeah, go listen to our previous episodes, because there's some continuity happening.
Apparently, there's kind of, like, I have this set as a serial, I think. Like, iTunes says, hey, is this episodic or is it serial?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have to go back and watch previous...
No, definitely go back and
you
listen.
Should.
Let's boost that download count.
The Portal episode is good.
It's a new month. It's August, which means my stat tracker is set differently.
Yeah.
So let's start with talking about what it was when it began.
A game. Now, it's a movement.
So, it was a project started by a guy named Sean Murray. He was a game director for it.
Murray!
He's the guy that got a lot of negative press because he was the guy that promised too much, mm-hmm. basically. Neat little fact about him. He used to work at EA. But he quit to start up his own studio called Hello Games, where mm-hmm. he convinced four others to go into this full-on. They had a game, it was called, like, Disaster Joe or something like that. It was an okay game. Sold fairly well. Well, apparently there was budget problems and whatnot, and the team had actually convinced Sean Murray to sell his house so that they can continue to work
God.
On it. And Murray's reasoning was... Well, I bought that house using money from EA, and it felt dirty. It felt wrong, like blood money. It was a blood house. So he was actually open to this idea of selling that house to focus on Hello Games.
I'm honestly sitting here like, that's not even too dramatic. I totally understand.
They were in development in secret for a long time, until a journalist friend of his, I can't remember whose name it was, they were like, hey, man... I want to show people this. I think they would like it. And they convinced him to create a trailer. Mm-hmm. And this was the trailer that premiered in, I think it was 2012, 2013.
Mm-hmm.
People were excited. Hype was generated for it. And then a flood happened, ruining the Hello Games office.
Oh my God.
And I guess Murray was like, yeah, I thought about quitting the project there and shutting it down. But we had already put a trailer out, so now we have to.
Oh.
So he felt,
I mean,
like, obligated.
But yeah.
He felt like an obligation now because he saw that people knew about it and people wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
And they worked and worked. And it was this 4-man team. Eventually, it grew up into a 10-person team. And they worked. And they eventually got a partnership with Sony.
Wow.
Which is why when it released, it was only on PlayStation 4 and PC. I don't know if it's on Xbox.
I can't recall.
But basically, they had a deal with Sony, and Sony became a backer, and they became what's called a second-party studio.
Because
mm-hmm. you've got first-party, which is the big-name people, normally publishers themselves, like Bethesda is a first-party dev. You've got third-party devs, which are, you know, indie developers, whatnot. They are their own business. They deal with publishers. And then mm-hmm. you've got second-party, which they're their own studio, but they're normally owned or... affiliated with a major something or other,
mm-hmm.
like Arkane Studios, who
okay,
made
yeah.
what did they make? Dishonored?
Yeah.
I think they're owned by Bethesda.
Okay.
So they're considered second party, I believe. So that happened, but I cannot confirm this. This is my own speculation. Sony was pushing hard for a timed release. Because they'd had to delay the game before because mm-hmm. they said, it's not ready. We thought we would have it, but we couldn't. But it came out in 2016. By this point, a lot of hype had been generated. People yeah. really excited, this open world exploratory idea. You could go from the ground to the stars, no loading screen, fluid and everything. Mm-hmm. I was victim of this hype. Because you know what this game was in my mind?
What?
It was a 3D Starbound.
Yes.
I could travel the universe, procedurally generated, find new environments, experience new animals.
That's what I've
do
always
my own thing.
Thought of when you've described things to me, is it's basically Starbound, but just bigger.
And yeah, it was like this 3D Starbound, and you know, I love Starbound, so it...
And 3D!
And 3D! I like all of the... I love 4D, don't get me wrong, but we haven't nailed that in video games
yeah.
yet.
Okay.
Smell-o-vision, not 4D. So it had released, and it was underwhelming, because a lot of what people saw in the initial trailer wasn't there.
Yeah.
The monsters weren't... I think that's the problem. I call them monsters. The alien life forms, the fauna,
mm-hmm.
were not as intricate or diverse as it seemed. The world was not as lush or rich as it seemed.
Yeah.
Gameplay was repetitive. It felt like all you were doing is collect resources, put in your ship, fly away, collect resources, repeat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what it was. Yeah, it got boring because you'd get resources by mining them away on the surface. You'd go fly to a different planet. Get more of a different resource. You'd use all that to upgrade your rocket booster or something. And you'd do it again and again. There was very little to do. And, of course, they promised multiplayer, which it didn't have.
Yeah.
And people found out because they actually coordinated a meetup and saw that nothing was
happening. Somebody had told me that when the game first came out, that there is the, I quote... There is multiplayer, but the universe is so vast, it's statistically unlikely that you will come across another person.
I do believe that was a statement at one point.
Mm.
And yeah, it took, I think, a month before this meetup happened, because somebody just happened to have stumbled across somebody else.
Yeah.
They saw, you know, planet discovered by blah blah, mm-hmm. so they private messaged blah blah and made it happen. That was why a lot of why people were upset, you know, all these broken promises and mm-hmm. whatnot. Lashback, it became a very hated game. This spawned kind of like the act of review bombing on Steam. Because after the game released, everyone had just flooded the Steam review system with mm-hmm. 0-star reviews.
Yeah.
Because they were mad, understandably. It actually got to the point to where Steam has a default refund policy.
Yeah.
2 weeks within purchase, less than 2 hours of playtime.
Yeah.
If you request a refund at that point, you're good. You'll just get it. They made an exception for this one because people were saying it took more than 2 hours to see how people were getting scammed over.
Mm.
You can spend the first 3 hours exploring, like, oh, this is great. Then you hit hour 4 and you're like, oh, this is the same.
That's it.
Hour 5, oh my god, it's the same. Hour 12, you've done the same thing 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like, okay, yeah, ignore the hour limit for this game if you want a refund. And of course, people got refunds.
That was nice of Steam.
And at this point, the studio had gone dark. Nobody had heard from Sean Murray or Hello Games for about 6 months straight. Nothing at all. Which, when you have a negative game going on, I get that staying quiet's not the worst idea. Because saying
anything is not going to help
you. I've seen the most downvoted comment on Reddit of all time. That's like, massive. That's because somebody tried to say something.
Yeah.
But the radio silence was rough as well. Because it made people worry, like, have we just been scammed over?
That's what I heard also, that it was a huge scam.
And people were, because people were upset. They thought, oh, they hyped this up and they took the money and run.
I think you were the one who told me it was a scam, actually.
I may have expressed... No, I don't think I would have said that.
Somebody not long ago, like before...
I'm sure someone a year or two ago
said...
Probably one of our friends.
I want to say it was you.
I've believed in this game for a long time. Yeah. And I believe it was after their first update is when we met, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. About a year passed. Hello Games pops up again, like, hey guys, we have an update. We understand that things weren't as good as you wanted them to be. We're sorry, we tried. We're going to try to make it up to you. The first thing is with this update. We are adding base building. We're adding in a new story arc. We're adding in more items, more diversity in the planets. And we're adding a lot of under the hood stuff, getting ready for major things in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And then I jumped back into this game again. And yeah, it was really cool. I could build my own base and like I could hire one of the local races. Because like there's three races. The Gek, these tiny sails lizards.
Yeah.
The Korvax, which are AI robot humans.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say humans. Humanoid-shaped computers, basically. And then the Korvax, which are...
Wait, what are the human computers called?
Oh, God.
Because you called those Korvax.
You're right, those are Korvax. The Viking.
Okay.
They're kind of like rhino-looking ugly face. Okay. And they're all about, like, glory and battle.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
The Vikings.
But you can find these people, and then you could hire them, and, like, they would go and they'd live in your base, and you could go to them for, like, jobs. And like, oh, hey, you want this cool material? Go get me a thing, and, like, I'll build this for you. And then, like...
You hire them to be your friend.
You could build exocrafts, which are basically space trucks.
Okay.
You could get a freighter. Like, well, a giant freighter. A mm-hmm. space freighter. And you could build a base in the freighter and whatnot. And, like, they added a lot of cool things. I personally really... really enjoyed the new campaign that they added. Because in this game, the only goal you're really given is go to the center of the universe.
Okay.
And it doesn't explain much or why or whatnot. Oh, and in this first update, they added kind of multiplayer. In that now you can see other players, but you can't really interact.
Mm-hmm.
A little ball of light or something, I think it was. But this new campaign they added was centered around a guy called Artemis. And you're getting a radio transmission from an alien life form you've never seen. You're like, oh my god, what is he? I've not seen someone shaped like you before. And you find out his name is Artemis, and he's like, help me. I don't know where I am. Everything's really weird. You know... can you find me? And then you're basically going on this trail of you follow what you thought was his signal,
mm-hmm.
and you come across a transmission tower, and then you fix it, and you find out he's not even here. He's somewhere else. And then you find out in order to find out where, you need these tools. And, like, you go get those tools. You talk to a robot that's supposed to help you. And then you find him, and you find out that he's... spoilers, I suppose. He's a simulation.
Hmm.
You find out that apparently he was just a procedurally generated mind inside of an artificial world. Except the world he's in is dying.
Okay.
So you're given the option of, do you let him just die out? Do you tell him the truth? Do you insert him into your own personal, like, simulator? Because you happen to have access to a universe simulation computer.
Okay.
So you have the option of putting him in there, but then you have to explain to him, hey, you're not real. And, like, it does this weird touch of existentialism.
Yeah, I'm really uncomfortable with you having to tell someone that they're living in a space simulation when you are playing a space simulation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because it touches on, are you a simulation?
Your player character.
Yeah. Yes. It's saying, because...
this is a little too meta for me right now.
Like, it's saying, like, there's these robots that scan the planets, and they attack you if you destroy the Earth. And they're called Sentinels, and people are wondering, what are these?
Yeah,
why
I'm
are they here?
About those.
And the idea that they're like white blood cells, and you're a virus.
Okay.
You are doing something that the program didn't want you to do, and that's them reacting to it.
Okay.
So it's like a computer trying to self-repair, you know, but it uses Zoes. And, like, throughout this entire thing, all you're hearing is 16, 16, 16. You're like, what does 16 mean? What is 16? And apparently you find out it's because your universe only has 16 seconds before you're going to critically shut down. Except 16 seconds on your simulator's time, not the world, it's simulating's time. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Kind of like how you can fast forward in The Sims, I guess, mm-hmm. Yeah. So 16 seconds up there, I'm describing. They even said, we don't know how long that is here. We don't know how long we have.
I remember hearing about this. That might have been you also telling me.
I must have. I do think I told you about this, because this was last year, around this time-ish. Yeah. So we did know each other. And, you know, like, I was taken back by how just good that story, because the game's always had good writing.
Yeah.
You could find these in, like, whenever you'd see the lore in monoliths, more than one monolith.
Multiple monolith.
Monolith. Monolodes. You could see that in, like, a lot of instances of, it's got some really cool writing bits, but none of it really is really brought together.
Yeah.
Until this happened, and then, like, I had a purpose for what I was doing, and it felt really nice. I loved it. And, like, that really reassured me in the face of the game. And then this update happened.
Okay.
Should we do the ad break now before I go on the... Okay. Our ad break is... this episode is in part sponsored by SalesGek Segintv. He's a SalesGek over in the Euclid Galaxy. He says... Geklatil iho tu sulele. Sisk puritet fani adjorchta. Selsgek tegnifani nefdos svas. Fani armusan lietrara. Dir, proi, gek moi iro monst lukt. Interested parties, please call 1-800-GOOF-NOK-NOK. That's our ad break.
I feel like your inflection was off.
You know, I don't know. I'm not a native Gekkonese.
Yeah, it was close enough.
I don't know what any of the... Because that's another thing. Is these races have their own languages.
Yes.
And you're not any of these races, so you don't know what these languages... And I mean, that's another thing about Artemis. Is like, what am I?
Uh-huh.
Am I that? Am I him? Because I was looking at him, and he had this, like, imagine Jar Jar Binks meets Hammerhead Shark.
All right. Did he have the floppy ears?
No, but he had like the vaguely reptilian amphibious head.
Yeah.
But more of the shape of... I can't actually quite recall, but... Yeah, that game, because I had seen a creature I'd never seen before, I started wondering what I was.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently I'm not even that. Apparently I'm something different.
Okay.
Which is established in this new update, but I'll get to that. Yeah, all the creatures have their own languages. And you can slowly, word by word, learn these languages. And it's helpful because these people, they'll talk to you and they'll ask you things or they'll ask you for help. And you got to be like,
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, please, I need something. And like, do you need an isotope? Do you need a catalyst? I don't know. Do you need carbon? But I didn't know because I didn't know his language.
Yeah.
And it gave me the option to give him all of those. And like, I could upset him if...
Mm-hmm.
And I did learn one of them, the Viking. I told you about this before, I think. They call you interloper a lot.
Okay.
And I learned this is because they don't like you at all. They would probably inflict harm on you if they could. However, apparently the Viking religion dictates that they respect you anyway. Because you are considered a traveler.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a, like, they need to respect travelers, whether they like it or not.
Why do they not like you, then?
Just because I'm not a Viking.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm an interloper. I'm in their way. They don't call you friend or something. They just call you interloper. I love that.
So, you have never seen a thing that looks like you?
Until this update, no.
Like, now that you can see yourself?
That's the confusing thing was, I saw Artemis, and he's what is a race that's called a traveler. And apparently travelers can be these weirdly shaped catfish-esque creatures. Or sometimes they're like floating balls of energy on their head. It's a weird swap between the two. I don't fully understand it.
Okay.
But yeah, in the first update, it was the first time I ever saw travelers. And that made me go, well, am I that? And then this update happened where you could now customize your appearance. And you can use it as a third-person perspective. Where I learned I'm not a traveler. When you go to customize your character, you get to choose what race you want to be. So I could be a Gek, or I could be a Viking. I love that. That's an option.
Yeah.
Still doesn't make sense, like, why I don't know all of the Gek language if I'm a Gek, you know?
Maybe you were raised outside of Gek society and...
That is possible. Well, I think it starts, like, you have amnesia type generic stuff, you know? And it's fine. You can choose to look like a traveler, or you can look like what you normally do, which it classifies as anomaly. Because that's apparently what you are, and that's what, like, part of the Artemis story was saying, that you're an anomaly. You're not like everything else. That's why the Sentinels attack you.
Oh.
Because you're an anomaly. Yeah, apparently you're this separate thing just called Anomaly, which looks like a man in a sci-fi spacesuit.
Okay.
But all of this happened, and then there was update 2, called No Man's Sky Next.
Yes.
And this had released last week, as we had reported.
Is this where everything ends?
I've not actually dived in. They say that they've added another campaign, but I've not touched it.
It's where the 16 yet. Seconds is up.
Ooh, that'd be an idea.
And then you start a new simulation.
That's the funny thing. In the first update, when I played again, I got to the center of the galaxy. It took me a while, but I got there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know what happens?
What happens?
You get to choose what kind of galaxy you want to go to. No, I'm sorry, what kind of universe, I think it was. Or maybe it was galaxy. Because apparently there's three different types of galaxies. A Euclid one, a peaceful one, and a third one. I chose the one that made, what's it called when, like, a galaxy has, like, a faded color to it?
Would I know that?
I don't know. You know how, like, they have, like, a glow to them?
Mm-hmm. Luminosity.
I chose the one with green.
Okay.
Just because I like green. So I went to that one. And you just crash your ship and start again. All of your stuff is gone except for what was on your person and on your ship.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a full circle reboot.
Yeah.
So I think it's implied that when you hit the center of the galaxy is when the 16 seconds hit.
Ah, okay.
And the system reboots. And you start again.
Okay.
I made a new character for this next update, so I don't know. And apparently, yeah, it has a new campaign. I've not done it. But it added so much third person. More crafting. A lot more crafting. You could build bases wherever you want. I have a freighter now. They made it easier to get one, so I've been diving into that stuff. Proper multiplayer. I was playing with a friend the other day, and it was actually kind of fun. I accidentally killed him.
David?
Yeah.
How could you?
Well, because, like, we were just taking joking pot shots near each other.
Why? Of course you were, you stupid... Oh my gosh. Of course
and,
you were.
And I got in my ship, and I saw him walking towards his. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to shoot in front of him a little bit. Pew, pew, pew. But I didn't realize my ship has very powerful guns.
And you just exploded it.
And the blast radius of them might have just...
You were the worst.
I felt so bad.
Stupid.
I let him have all of the launch pads and thereafter.
No, I remember you doing that. This is my way of apology. I remember you saying I did not know what you did though. Oh my goodness.
They changed the names of a lot of things. Like you would get carbon and iron, and that was like two of your primary components. You still get carbon, you get that from like you have a little laser harvester. You harvest trees or, like, plant life. They drop carbon. Or, like, a lot of the rocks will drop iron.
Yeah.
Well, now there's no iron. There's instead a new material called ferrite.
Okay.
I don't know why. Its function is exactly the same. I don't know why they changed the name like that. I have a hard time believing that there's some kind of copyright on the word iron. The concept of iron.
Know. Maybe they needed to make it more space-worthy.
But I did I got to see some of the different planets. I found a life desolate planet, which was what I imagine the moon looks like, really.
Okay.
There was nothing. It was desolate. It was all gray. There was no sky. The sky was black because it had no atmosphere. It had lower gravity. It was just gray rocks and the occasional, you know, dip and hill.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was cool seeing this wider variety. And I've seen some screenshots online. They added a photo mode, too. That's kind of cool.
Nice.
I saw some screenshots online of, like, there's these pretty cool-looking planets. So, like, the planets actually look nicer now, even more so than when it first started. And I like it. I'm having
fun. That's good.
I'm having fun.
I'm glad that the game is now satisfying.
Now, I give it credit because this is my third time playing it. Like, I should be absolutely bored of it by now. I don't know if I'm going to play it as much as I did with the first update.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to maybe get into that campaign thing. That might motivate me again. I like doing my own thing, though.
I know.
That's fun. I get to... But I get tired of having to refill my launch boosters, you know?
Yeah, I know the feeling. Isn't that a pain in the butt?
Those darn launch boosters. That is...
Always needing a top-up.
That is a consistent issue, though, is that your resource management still gets a hassle. You never want to drop anything because you never know when you're going to need it 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
The inventory doesn't let you carry a lot.
Yeah.
And it seems like if you, like everything from like taking off your ship, getting off the ground, to boosting, to jumping to a different solar system... takes a resource into its own right.
Yeah.
So you're constantly just...
guzzling resources.
Yeah, and then you have to keep stopping and getting more of those resources.
Yeah.
And it's a way to lengthen the time of it all.
That's how space works.
That is how space works. A lot of this game was actually inspired by Elite.
Elite Dangerous?
Elite.
Oh.
Elite Dangerous came from the same game, Elite, which was... same concept. You're in space and like your goal is to make money by trading or carrying cargo or piracy.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the original Elite old computer game was a big inspiration for No Man's Sky, which you can kind of tell because they encourage that you go to these planets, mine this precious ore, go back to a space station and sell it for credits. And like you can really tell a lot of the influence there once you actually, like, can see the two connections. Which there's not a lot of, there isn't actually a lot of connections you can make otherwise. I do remember, though, what'd they say? Murray had said that apparently they had taken a bunch of sci-fi books, you know, Isaac Asimov,
sure.
Robert A. Heinlein, all that, and they had plastered the office walls with their covers.
Oh.
Because they had made the statement that they wanted this game to be like the cover of a sci-fi book.
Okay.
And they're getting really close to that. Like, when I was exploring that desolate planet, like,
yeah.
I went into picture mode and I zoomed out real far and I was like, I got a sense of scale for my tiny character in this big, empty world. And like, well, like, wow, this is actually, I see it. I totally see it now. And I'm a sucker for a good sci-fi book, so I extra liked this idea.
I know this about you.
Yeah. I have... Oh, what's it called? Have spacesuit will travel. I had this revelation like 2 weeks ago, and I'm still reveling.
Okay.
That the DLC for Fallout 3, Mothership Zeta...
Oh, yes.
...is a big reference to... I think is a big reference to Have Spacesuit Will Travel.
It doesn't surprise me, because you saw me playing Fallout 4 and picking out the references.
Oh yeah, Fallout's such a cultural reference-y series.
Yeah. Can I just interject with the one that really threw me?
The wine?
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
I went
go
and
for
did
it.
The Minutemen quest where you go take back the fort.
The castle?
Yeah, and then you go down... It's a fort. It's not a castle. It's a fort.
Don't they call it the castle?
It's called the castle.
Okay.
You're correct.
But it is a fort.
But it's a fort.
Gotcha.
And then you go down to the tunnels underneath, and you find out what happened to the previous general. And he's like, all I've got is this box full of Amontillado. And I was like... Are you for real? Like, he barricaded himself in this little bunker with a
cask of Amontillado, basically walled himself in, and then I turn around, there is a skeleton chained to the wall, and then there's like a false wall in front of it that's somewhat
So someone had built
apart.
A wall over the...
Yes, someone had been bricked in, and there was a cask of Amontillado sitting outside, and I was like, I'm upset, Bethesda, why did you do that?
So, now, when you had first discovered it, I didn't know this reference. Could you tell the listening audience what it is?
There is a... Very, I'm surprised you didn't know this because it was a wildly popular meme not that long ago. An Edgar Allan Poe short story called The Cask of Amontillado, where a man basically chains another man to a wall and then bricks him in, builds a brick in front of him, and he lures him there saying, I have this cask of Amontillado wine. Would you like some, basically?
Gotcha.
And, yeah, that was a meme for a while, where you, like, I don't know, I think it was kind of like the breadsticks meme. Do you remember that one? Where it's like, you go on a date with someone and they say something that is, like, super against your opinions or morals or something, and then you're like, I have to go shoving breadsticks into my
I've not seen
bag.
That, no.
Okay, I think it was kind of like that, in which, you know, someone who is very against your ideals, and then you're like me adding bricks to the pile. Oh, you don't say. I think that's what it was. I'm gonna have to look that up for you later. Anyway, this is not about No Man's Sky.
Right, so I only really got one more thing I want to talk about, and it's the Gek.
Okay.
Throughout this game, you learn lore about one event in history, but you learn about it from three perspectives, the three races.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn about these by finding...
Which is good. You don't normally get that
right?
in fiction.
And you learn about them using can you say the M word for me?
Monoliths?
Yes. They're these tall, intimidating structures. And when you go to them, they will give you a vision. And that's them giving a smidgen of lore about this story. And what it basically happened was the Gek apparently used to be a very aggressive, warmongering race. Despite being these... Because when you meet them, they're happy, cheerful. They call you friend. They fart in a pleasant smell. That's a fun fact.
I'm just staring at Brandon. He's like, what?
Part of how they communicate is they will emit odors that are... Yeah.
They're
so, like, when they want to be friendly, they will emit a pleasant odor.
Okay. Their farts smell like rainbows.
And there's this material called Gek Nip.
Oh.
Which I guess is a trade item. You can give it to them to make them happy. And for them, they use it to help induce pleasant odors.
Oh my goodness.
It's a neat little thing. But when you meet them, yeah, they're all like, oh, I'd love to help. I'm so happy. Do you want to make a trade? And they're just these happy little merchants.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, in all of these monoliths, they're like, behold the mighty power of the Gek, bow down before us, you swine. And you're like, whoa, why is this the way it is? And you find out apparently what happened was they used to be aggressive, and they used to be very, like, dominating. They would take over planets and enslave the Korvax, the robot people. And apparently what happened was one day, one of the Korvax cut itself open, spewing out its, like, robot blood, which was a bunch of nanites, into the hatchling pools of the Gek. Because they have this, kind of like frogs, they have, like, ponds of water where they put their polywogs in. And then other Korvax started doing this, and, like, the Gek didn't understand why are our slaves killing themselves in our pools of children. And then the children started being more docile, more friendly. And so the theory was that the Korvax had used their nanobot blood to genetically rewrite the Gek to become a more peaceful race.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't want to be enslaved anymore.
Yeah.
And like I had found all this through, monoliths and all that. And I was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
I feel a little weirder now that every time I talk to the Gek.
Yeah.
I don't recall what the Viking had to do with all of it. Just because I don't...
They were just chilling.
I make a point to skip over Viking solar systems.
Yeah, I was over there on the bench.
It was just because I...
Does that make you any better than those Nazis? I was on the bench.
I akin it to, like, oh, did you get John's perspective? I'm like, I don't really talk to John. I don't want to hear what he has to say.
John was over on the bench.
Yeah, like, that was... It kind of threw me off, that, like, Gek... And that's what I'm talking about when I said that there's some pretty good writing going on in here. Like, that was a really cool story that I've uncovered for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to work through a lot of flop to get to it.
Well, that's how reality works.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
That's why I said it's very rare that they actually do that in fiction, because it's so much easier to just be like, this is how it happened.
But
you don't ever come across someone in real life who knows that stuff.
You know, the fact that they have come back 2 years now, showing massive updates, adding in all of the things that they originally said they wanted to have, kind of proves to me that they didn't take the money and run. They never meant to.
They used it to.
They
whatever they still had
they
left.
They made promises that they couldn't keep.
Yeah.
And they feel regretful, and they're doing their best to make up for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I respect that.
They handled it fairly maturely.
People see Sean Murray as a guy who, you know, lied and scammed millions of people.
That's not what he was trying to do.
I see it as a dude who left a corporate job to follow a passion. Yeah, apparently sold his house. And, like, to make this thing. And, like, I feel that respect.
Can I tell you something I thought of when you were talking about the dichotomy of the Gek? The Geth is
different.
Aspect.
Different sci-fi game.
Yeah.
Do tell.
You had my brain on Fallout, so I was thinking about the helpful robot that's in the Nuka-Cola world that someone had reprogrammed. Like, so sometimes she's
Darcy,
like, "Hi,
or something.
I want to help you. I'll kick you in the knees if you come any closer."
Yeah. Oh, hi! Welcome to Nuka World, you piece of garbage! Like,
yeah.
Whoa.
That's
God, what's her name? Nora? Nora.
Sure.
I think it was Nora. N-O-R-A. I don't remember what it stands for.
Yes. She's the embodiment of
Have a nice day at Nuka World. What are you doing here, you worthless nothing?
The Gek.
I thought about killing
past.
Her. Yeah. That's a fair example. So, I think I've talked enough. I've said all I wanted to say, and we're hitting approximate time a little under, but it's good.
Good. This is usually what
I think. Actually, we start our counter a bit late. I don't know. So how about some housekeeping? Yeah.
Yeah.
So give us a review on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. You know why everyone tells you to go do those reviews? It's because it actually helps us get seen by people. iTunes is no longer our number one listening source, which surprised me.
Yeah, apparently a ton of people are listening on something that is not named on your charts, us know what you're listening on, I guess.
That is a good point. I would love to know what people are using to listen, because I have this, I think it's like 54% of listeners are in the other category.
Yeah.
So
Give
I don't know.
Give us a shout on Twitter and tell us what you're using.
Great idea, which you can do at our Twitter, which is at Cody Co-op Podcast. Give us a follow. We say when the show's going live. I make jokes and memes sometimes, too. That's right. I'm a meme lord.
Everyone memed the crap out of me for last week's episode.
Yeah, last week when you said you think you had it for the Xbox.
The Metroid.
You were just all excited, like, ha ha, solid Snake-ter. And everyone else is like, I had a Metroid on the Xbox.
Yeah. Everyone got mad at me for that one. And I did own a Metroid game. It just wasn't for Xbox.
Apparently
it was for the Wii.
It was Metroid Prime.
We said that on the episode. You stopped me and you said no. And I was like, okay, then maybe it was for Wii.
It had to have been, yeah. We're also on Facebook under the same name. We have an email address. If you want to send us a business casual email, give us feedback about the show. Suggest a game that we could talk about, or give like a nice little anecdote or something about what game we're going to talk about next. You can do that, the email being CozyCoop@thelizardrock.com. There's no hyphen in there. It's basically Cozy Coop. But don't put Cozy Coop on Google, because you'll get a chicken.
You will get chickens.
Chickens. Every Monday through Friday, I post news at thelizardrock.com. That's where we get the news for the show. Give that a check out. If you want to support us, we have a support page, by the way, which you can look more on that at thelizardrock.com/support. Buy a video game. No extra cost to you, but it makes us a bit of dosh.
Yes. Now tell us what next week's game is.
No.
Tell us.
Next week's episode is actually a secret. I've got.
Why?
Because.
Tell us.
Because I've not.
Why are you closed?
Why? The people want to podcast. Tell us why you're closed.
Yeah.
So we have a special secret going on for the next episode. I'm not going to say what.
Do we? I don't know about this.
Yes, you do.
Okay, we'll talk about it off mic, I guess, because I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's a special, like, special thing for our 20th episode.
Oh, yes. Okay, never mind. I'm aware.
That. I don't want to say what it is yet, because I still got to kind of lock in
work
a few things. It might end up special 21st episode, just because bad planning. We'll find out. So tune in for that. Leave feedback about your favorite secret episode in video games.
I think that's it for us today. Cozy up with us next week on The Cozy Co-op.
Outro music.
I didn't know if you were going to do it.
Nah, I've got no fun gimmicks.